Hello,
Hi.
Okay. I have to switch us to speaker view from the gallery view. There we go.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, is that with Keith now? Hi, Keith.
Hello there, yes. I am aware.
I are aware, okay. John, I was sort of thinking about timeless, because the time is of the mind and the ego and the body, but timeless is the invisible selfless self. And what exactly is it? It's just a spontaneous, eternal nowness, or it's just always the same? The timelessness is always the same. It's the ego mind, body ego mind, that wants to be in the so-called future or past or whatever. But timeless is always the same.
Well, I mean, in order to have time, you have to have an object in space in which you can measure time. And you're not an object, and you're not even really the space. So formlessness is outside of the concept of time. Time, the concept of time, came along with the body, because we started counting the days of, I was born at such and such a time. Now I'm 70 years old, or 80 years old, or 100 years old. This is time. But in reality, the formlessness that you are, even though there's a misconception that I am a body, there's no time. There's no birth, no death. This presence clicked with a body and knows itself as I exist. In the sense of existence, then, oh, look, there's a world. But in reality, none of that is true. You are formless. You're formless now. You're formless prior to this body-based existence experiencing this illusion. And you'll be formless after this body-based existence experiencing illusion is no more. So there is no time except as a concept that came along with the body, which you are not.
So when you're not believing that concept anymore of the body-mind and what came when we took on a body, then you are just always the same. This is timeless. It's, there's no time in it. There's just the sameness. I mean, it's hard to.
In this moment, you can look at a clock and say, oh, it's 7:19, or in this case, 7:15. There's a reminder that says, go to this meeting. So now this meeting is happening, and there's speaking and listening occurring. And then we'll get another little reminder from now that they've started doing it on Zoom, that, oh, you only have 15 minutes left in this little meeting, and then it's finished. So there is, of course, because there is an object, even if there's no identification with this object is here. And this object in space creates a concept of time. But you know yourself as timeless, because this just I, this sense of presence, this sense of existence, this formlessness is outside of time, because time came along with the body.
Yeah. So the outside of time, that's kind of a helpful way of being outside of time.
You, the you that you are, all of this world appears within you. So when I say outside, there's no real inside and outside.
Yes.
Just as when you're dreaming, the dream consciousness, if the people in the dream have watches, those watches will tell a different time, most likely, than what's outside if the people are awake outside of the dream. So let's say two people are laying down, one's reading, one's sleeping, one's dreaming, and it's daytime, and the other one is sitting up, and it's nighttime. Which experience is true? Which experience is false? Both are from this consciousness or this sense of existence creating an apparent experience. But neither's true, Now that this body is available, yes, you cannot just tell your boss, oh, I'm outside of time, therefore I'll come in like 2 o'clock in the afternoon because my body is laying sleeping and it doesn't actually come to existence in this waking state until around 1:30. This would be bad.
Yeah, try that.
Exactly. So as Maharaj says, do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. As you're a human, behave like a human, okay? Behave, and meaning do what's in front of you and leave it. And then you'll know that there's no time because there won't be this pressure of being a body in space and time, creating this concept of time. The object is not identified with. And yet you can see, oh, it's 7:21. You can ask, I won't say her name, but the little assistant, if you say her name, you can say, what time is it? And she will tell you what time it is. You can go on your computer and see the time. But this is only within the illusion. And the same could be said as you're dreaming tonight. You could look at a watch and say, oh, it's 3:22 in the afternoon. So only when there's identification with an object is there a concept of time.
There's otherwise, when there's no identification with any object,
then it's just numbers and tasks. You know, you say, okay, at 5:30 I have a meeting. So at 4:30, I see it's 4:30, I'll go take a shower, get ready, and go to this meeting. Mm-hmm. Or here, okay, 7:15, there's a pop-up and a reminder, and here we are. But I don't have to be something to be here to experience this time. Mm-hmm. Spontaneity is literally scenes appearing and disappearing. And you're just here. Like, there's no pressure of I'm somebody, I'm living a life, I'm doing these things. There's literally just scenes appearing and disappearing.
Spontaneously, yes. Things appearing.
Exactly.
When you say spontaneous manifestation, what exactly do you mean about manifestation? Isn't it just spontaneous scenes just appearing? Is that what you mean by spontaneous manifestation?
Spontaneous, the first is I exist. And this concept, I exist, created the concept of duality, which then birthed a world, basically, because the consciousness, that's what it does, it creates. So then there's identification at a limited level of I exist as something that's like a micro of the major I exist, and now I exist as something. Where the sense of existence appeared to that you are, which had no prior knowledge of existence, but once the sense of existence came, spontaneously, immediately, automatically, whatever you want to say, a dream world was projected. This is why we can look at the dream at night. You lay down to sleep at night, you're in deep sleep. There's no sense of you, no you-ness, no world, no body, no thoughts, no nothing. Then there's a little blip of a sense of existence. Boom, a dream world is created with a you in it. Mm-hmm. And then you start to see this dream world from the perspective of being this little dream character. Mm-hmm. Now, if you wind that back, the same is true of the waking state, because the sense of existence created this entire dream world. And now, you think mom and dad got together, created a lump of goo, but the concept of the lump of goo is you. You are born. Yeah. So mom and dad create the concept of you, and you create the concept of parents. And then they say, oh, this is you, we label you. And from this perspective, the knowledge of existence is known suddenly basically, like we talked about, the space in the room clicks with this little lump of goo and starts to see objects within your own self, but there's no knowledge of it being within your own self. Because mom and dad don't say, you know, you're actually the space, but you have this body to use for a time. No, they slap a label on you and they say you're doing good things and bad things, eat your vegetables, go to school, do your best. They create a concept of doership because this is impressed in that experience. So now the formlessness that is both the parents and the child, from a different perspective, seeing from both perspectives, the parent seeing the child and the child seeing the parent, it creates the concept of family, body relations. Because the body, you say, oh, this is mom, this is dad. And there's a knowledge of your own self as something separate. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says, prior to 2 years, you did not have a sense of separate existence.
Right.
Just a sense of existence, which was moving about and, oh, look. But now you have a separate sense of existence because this is mom, this is me. Mom has labeled me John. And now John does good things and bad things. And now the clock starts ticking because as soon as I know myself, then I say, oh, I can die. And you may not say that at two, but you begin to experience this as you see others, especially if you go to funerals and all this sort of stuff. You see that people are worried about their health. They're worried. And so this body just impresses. And you forget yourself. Until then, you've been living this life. And sometimes things go your way. Sometimes they don't. You look for people to blame when they don't. And you congratulate yourself when they do. You create this egoistic sense that I am the doer. I can do. I have amazing things. And yet life itself is always teaching us life is unmanageable and you are completely powerless. You can only be here now in the moment, doing whatever you need to do, doing your job, doing your duties, leaving the results. And eventually, if you continue to believe that you're the doer, your mind is just going to be like, just, you're going to buy into all the thoughts. Oh, I'm doing terrible. Oh, I'm doing good. And you can't do good forever. What comes up has to come down. The concept of pain and pleasure is in effect because you believe yourself to be something that can be affected rather than knowing yourself in a real sense. And now in this dream world, this waking dream world, you start to seek something other than this limited existence. There must be something more. And now you start to say, oh, there's got to be something more than this. There's so much pain. Sometimes there's pleasure, but there's more pain than pleasure. Or maybe there's pleasure, but it always ends in pain. And you need an escape. Oh, your phone went to...
Well, there's somebody trying to reach me. I'm just going to letting it go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this pain and pleasure principle is the struggle, basically. Trying to avoid pain, trying to get pleasure. And pleasure then leads to pain, and pain then goes back, and then it's like, oh, this pleasure came. So it's a vicious cycle. And then there is the concept that if I'm going to die, I need to sustain this as long as possible. And also because you're an object, the natural tendency is to acquire more objects. I want more things for this person that I believe I am. And there's never a satisfaction. So at some point, it breaks down and it's like, so that's when you start to read about spirituality, whatever it may be. And if you are very lucky, you'll read and understand that, oh, there is something more. And this starts you on your journey. And if you remain on this spiritual journey, so to speak, again, it's all illusion. There is no journey. You're always yourself. But in the story of you, the spiritual journey is seeking something. Well, you don't know you're seeking your own self, the source of all things, until you start to seek. And you'll start to seek once everything stops working, which it's guaranteed to stop working. Mm-hmm. And that's why Maharaj says, don't wait until you're on your deathbed to seek spirituality. You know? Maharaj has said before that in India, they used to be like, okay, you're a young boy, and then you go and you become a young man, and you get married, and you have the family, and you have the kids, you're a householder. And then in your older age, you say, okay, now it's time to seek spirituality.
Yeah.
But how do you know? Like, number one, you're assuming a lot. You're assuming that you're going to get to old age to seek the spirituality before you wind up on your deathbed, scared and frightened of the concept of death. As Maharaj says, nobody likes death. You truly believe that death is a thing, it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And even as is told the story about the two boys, they were named, I think, Krishna or something. He named his boys basically, I think, Krishna and Vishnu or something like this. And he's on his deathbed, but he's wondering about the broom. But he named his boys this so that when he was around at the end of his life, he would have these two boys, both named of some god in the Hindu religion. And so he would guarantee that he'd be thinking about the Hindu religion. But instead, he's thinking, who's minding this store? And then the other way of the thing, it's this is something's eating this broom. So immediately then he thinks about something other than what he's thinking about, because you can't do that. You see, you can't sit on your deathbed and then say, okay, I'm going to make a trick and name my children so that I'm saying the names of God as I'm, you know, as I'm passing. No, you know yourself in a real sense. The concept of birth and death is removed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just removed.
Yeah.
And if the body goes through all sorts of things that the body may go through, you know yourself. This knowledge of your own self, knowing yourself in a real sense, it does not come and go. It's not like something that you say, oh, well, if I become senile, will I still know myself?
Mm-hmm.
The senility will appear to the body-based experience, not to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know yourself. That'll never change. Whatever attributes get added on to the attribute less can just easily be pushed. Oh, it's not me. Without saying it's not me. Because you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The body may go through whatever it goes through. Right now it's raining and then nice and then raining and then nice. We've had a lot of rain. Five elemental disturbance.
Yeah.
So this body may get a cough. May, you know, have troubles with heart, may have troubles with legs, with bones, all that. That's a five elemental problem. I remember when Maharaj came to One Circle, and he came in and he said, oh, sorry, I'm late. It was a food body problem. You know, meaning whatever he was doing, it was something with the food body and not him. Number one, the guru is never late. That's, you know, Sadguru is outside of time. Guru is never late. But to those of you who believe you're a body, the explanation is I'm late due to a food body problem. And these things?
Well, Nisargadatta and Ramana both had cancer. I know that Ramana's had the reoccurring cancer that was on his arm, and they did the surgery that came back and back, but he wasn't identified at all with the body, even though the body must have really been hurting. So that's, I guess you get to the point where you so identify with your selfless self that you don't experience pain in the same way.
You will experience pain, but it's like an extra layer on your presence. I mean, Nisargadatta Maharaj talks about all the time that he's too tired to do the speaking. And then sometimes, okay, now the speaking is there. And he talked about the agony that the body is going through, but there's no identification with this body that's in agony. There's pain. Pain is there. The five elements are being disturbed, and you are holding a five elemental body. Just like depression comes, anger comes, all these sort of things, it's a five elemental body. There's going to be disturbance in the five elements. Mm-hmm. But you just remain with your selfless self. And if there's pain, there's pain. You know this, but it's not. There's no identification with I have cancer. I think Maharaj says, or Nisargadatta Maharaj says, the I am, that is assigned the cancer. The I am that is, oh, I exist as something, that's assigned the cancer. I'm beyond this. Because that you are cannot have cancer. Cancer came along with the body that you are not.
Yeah, right.
You're outside of this whole, there's no way, like you can sit and look out the window. And as Maharaj says, if at all you want to compare yourself to space or sky. And understand that everything that you're seeing is within that space and sky. Mm-hmm. And now you know you're more subtle than space or sky.
But John, even though you are pretty, we are pretty clear about the I am consciousness, when the body is really in great pain, even though you know the I am is separate from that, but still it's hard not to, really identify with excruciating pain.
I don't know either.
I mean, I think we've all experienced that. Like you had your food poisoning, but you were identifying with the I am. But the food poisoning was pretty painful.
I wasn't experiencing it.
So there's both going on.
I wasn't experiencing the food poisoning. It was really kind of weird because I remained with the selfless self. I remained with mantra. Fully focused on mantra, and yet would run to the bathroom and throw up, run to the bathroom and do other horrible things, and run to the bathroom constantly. And I was dehydrated. And I just remained with myself as self. And when I went to the hospital and they put the IV and all that, I did not experience going through these things until at the other side, when I was then more well, my body had energy and I went and participated in the bhajans again. But it wasn't I was concentrated on mantra. Mind did not get to sit there and speak about what's happening or complain about it. And Maharaj, being of course that you are, just kind of swooped in and just took care of everything. Like without me having to think about doing anything, I remained with mantra. Sadhguru came in and just the doctor came in and they did some, I don't know, I forget. I think, I can't remember if he took blood or he took a blood pressure or something, but he said, oh, you're dehydrated. You have to go to the hospital. At one moment I said, oh, I don't want to go to the hospital. Maharaj says, you must go. I said, okay, then we go. Because my master is not a human being. My master is that formless presence within the body that I am experiencing as Sri Ramakant Maharaj. And master says, we're going to the hospital. Yes, master, we go. And we drove. And it was funny because as we're driving there, because the Kumbh Mela, when I was first going to go to India, you know, people were talking about the Kumbh Mela. There's like 50,000 saints and sadhus that are all going to be in this city while I'm taking mantra. So I thought, oh my God, that is the most amazing spiritual thing. Like all these saints and sadhus at the same time that I'm in the city, and it only happens every 7 years or whatever that it's in Nashik, and I'm taking mantra. But, oh, I'm going to get rid of this. Okay. It says it'll end in 10 minutes. So.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
9 minutes and 47 seconds. But, so I thought it was like, but as I was traveling, I thought, my God, how amazing. Like I'm going to take the Nam mantra during Kumbh Mela, 50,000 saints and sadhus. But as I'm driving to the hospital, Maharaj is sort of pointing out that this is not for you. This is people worshiping a body-based experience and getting deeper in illusion by believing themselves to be sadhus and to be like renouncing. Mm-hmm. And as we drove by, he was talking to the guy that was driving the car. And it was just so profound because it was really an amazing thing. You know, he was. I mean, he opened the door and showed me myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I said, Maharaj, this we are. This subtle feeling. And when I went into the ashram and did the bhajans, and I never forget when I bowed to the masters, which I had started to do every morning, then one day I bowed to the masters and there was this profound recognition in the projection, this feeling of presence just coming through the pictures. And I very much understood. It's like it was burning this last remnants of you away.
Wow.
And Maharaj was, and I'm very, very happy too that I had courage to speak to Maharaj about, and only to Maharaj while I was in the ashram, about each of these experiences that were occurring or these things to clarify and remove any doubts that I had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you are that. Mm-hmm. When you're in the meditation and you feel that subtle presence, identify anything at all, identify with that subtle sense of presence. And right away, you're removed from the body, from the world, from everything, and you just remain. And anytime this body-based illusion starts to impress a little bit, you remain with your selfless self. And after some time, the understanding will come that even this presence I am not.
Mm.
I am more subtle than this presence. This presence is being experienced and is the only experience, the first experience I exist that allows me, as it talks about the deer and the fragrance. Oh, the sense of existence is felt through body form as a sense of presence. But presence is, whether body is there or not. And presence is pointing back to that before the knowingness of existence appeared.
Mm-hmm.
That you are.
Well, I have that intoxication of the selfless self quite often.
Good.
And I don't have too many thoughts that are disturbing of me. Yeah.
Yeah, because like Maharaj said, even meditation is illusion. It needs to be done in the beginning. But now the meditation is what you used to call life.
Right. That's a Christians call that praying without ceasing.
Exactly. Mm. Now you are, the entire world is appearing within you. All the activities are appearing within you. There's no need to separate yourself to be a meditator meditating. Right. Because that meditator that was meditating dissolved within the meditation. And then it became that the meditation, or what you used to call thoughts, what you used to call meditation, is now this existence. This illusory existence. And even that is not impressed as true. When you know yourself as formless and you say, my mind, where is this mind located? The world that appears to you. Because you are formless. So you say, where is this mind located?
Is it a misnomer to call that beautiful?
You can call it whatever you like, but there's no need to call it anything. It just is. My mind. What is my mind? My mind is the concept of world. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not identified with the body. Now, how, if I'm not identified with the body, and the concept of mind is world, how is there a concept of birth or death? What is born or what dies if the concept of mind is world and I'm not body? We are at our 2-minute warning, according to Zoom.
Okay. And before we all dissolve.
Exactly. Before this experience is no more.
I'll still be here. I'll be waiting for next week. I'll be sitting here.
Yeah, prior to the experience of meeting, prior to the experience of Keith, you are.
I'll have my servants bring me food.
Bring you food. Till you wait for next week, we'll bring you food.
And by the way, I'm sitting on the toilet right now.
Okay.
Just kidding.
That's what I was doing last week, getting ready for colonoscopy. Is that what you're doing?
Oh my God. Yeah, right.
Oh, one last thing. I read a recording of the Ultimate Truth on the YouTube channel, the chapters 11, 12, 13, and 14. So if you haven't listened to it yet, it's there.
Okay.
I just decided to, whatever, just read it. And so I put it on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you.